Blog Talk Radio.
Run to Old Navy to celebrate summer style your way. Now through Tuesday, rush in for $2 tanks for women and girls, $4 tees for the whole family, $6 graphic tees, and $8 shorts. Ready to dive in? All swimwear is 50% off. Stay big on the best summer styles for just $2, $4, $6, and $8. Now through Tuesday. Plus, this Friday only, women's dresses are just $10. Run to Old Navy. Valid 622 to 628. Dresses valid 624. Select styles. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, good evening. This is Crystal P. Willingham with GLAM Network Radio for Women. GLAM is an acronym for God Loves All of Me, and I love all of you. Thanks for joining me. I'm back, y'all. Hey. I'm back for another Media Project series, and the Media Project series is great. Power, triumphant influence. We're going to interview 50 to 60 women, power couples, and female teenagers who have stories that will impact you, encourage you, and change your life, and I hope that you'll tune in every Tuesday and every Thursday night here, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have all kinds of people on this media project. We're going to have moms, wives, business owners, actresses, film directors, musicians, singers, all the like. And I'm so, so glad that you all could join me. What you just heard was the jazzy, pitch-perfect sound of my girl Shante Khan, locally here in Atlanta, Georgia, featured with that song is Snarky Puppy. I love Snarky Puppy, y'all. It's just who I play when I'm really, really chilling. I love Jesus, but I like Snarky Puppy. And so if you want that CD, you can also go online and download her project. It's awesome, awesome, awesome piece of work. I love Shante. She knows I love her. Shante, if you're listening, love you, girl. And I want to thank you so much for gracing the airwaves and gracing our eardrum with Da 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 featuring Snarky Puppy. All right, I want to do a little house cleaning tonight. Before we get started with my guest, my longtime friend, I thought about this earlier today. I've known her since middle school, so I'm pretty sure I don't know everything. So we're going to have her on in just a few minutes. But I want to do a little housekeeping tonight. I want to bring something to you that's very close and dear to my heart and a friend of mine. Her name is Renee Mohead Davis. She is a beautiful, beautiful spirited woman here in Atlanta, Georgia. She used to be a mentor of mine, and I want to do this for her and her daughters. I'm going to read something for you very, very briefly. It's going to be a little bit long, but I'm going to try to run through it, but not run through it and not give Imani the justice that she deserves. Okay? So this Atlanta resident, her name is Imani, and she died on April 1st, Imani McDonald, after an alleged assault from her then-landlord's husband in Shanghai. McDonald, an Atlanta, Georgia native, was teaching English in China at the time of her death. More than 6 weeks after her death, the family of the victim reports received little to no cooperation from Chinese authorities, resulting in arduous efforts for and throughout the investigation. The alleged assault occurred March 15th during the confrontation between McDonald and her landlord's mother, and the landlord's husband regarding their lack of responsiveness to the standard living conditions of her housing unit. An altercation ensued, and McDonald was allegedly slammed to the ground by the landlord's husband, where she suffered a head injury. McDonald visited three different medical facilities in Shanghai, the first of which allegedly told her she sustained a traumatic brain injury and to go home for a week. McDonald eventually succumbed to her injury and fell into a coma on March 26th. She passed away 6 days later. Though the events that led up to her death are still under investigation, the family of the victim is pursuing criminal and civil charges with the assistance of the United States, and an autopsy was performed on April 28th. McDonald's family is still waiting for those results. And I quote, "We have been told that autopsy results, we have not been told of the autopsy results, whether determine a natural death or not, along with the medical records, will determine whether or not criminal charges will be brought forth," says Renee M. Davis, the victim's mother. Now, bottom line, McDonald, she was raised here in Atlanta, Georgia. She returned to her home state after attending Xavier University, New Orleans, and earned a Bachelor of Science degree in biology. After a short stint in the corporate America, she went to teaching at her alma mater in South Fulton County. Wanting to combine her passion for teaching and travel, McDonald was set the position to teach English in Shanghai, China, last June. She was well accepted by her students and made many friends in her short 8 months there. Not only did she connect with other expats from the U.S., she connected with people on a heart-to-heart level, making an amazing impact on so many. I was able to be there at Amani's memorial service, and so many things were said about her. But what I really enjoyed hearing were the stories of triumph and the stories of conquering and how she brought so much life and bubbly. Amani was bubbly. And so what I learned from her life and watching people celebrate Amani's life, I learned, you know, grab life by the horns and live it to the fullest that you possibly can. Do not shortchange yourself on the things that God has given you in your life. You're not too young. You're not too old to really grab a hold to what your purpose in life is here. And I'm going to tell you what purpose here is: to love God, love yourself, and love your neighbors. You can't do those three things, your life is going to be an never-ending cycle, and we don't want that, do we? We want you to know that God loves all of you, everything about you, everything inside and out of you. And whatever he created you to do, he did it so you can change someone else's life. So we want to thank Ms. Renee Davis for giving us the opportunity to support her. If you would like more information, please go to her Facebook page, and it is called We Will Always Love You, Amani, spelled A-M-A-N-I, Marcia, M-A-R-C-I. We Will Always Love You, Amani, A-M-A-N-I, Marcia. Please go by her Facebook page, show some support, and there you'll find the GoFundMe page where they will be raising funds to further this investigation and to get this investigation resolved. If you don't find her Facebook page, you can also go to a GoFundMe page, www.gofundme.com/Amani Miracle. We want to thank you again, Ms. Renee, if you're listening. Thank you so much for sharing your gift with us and the rest of the world through Amani. God bless you, and we're praying for you. So with that being said, I want to thank you again. Welcome to GLAM Network Radio. GLAM is an acronym for God Loves All of Me, and this is Crystal P. Willingham. And so we're going to bring my guest on very, very shortly. Sit back and chill for a few minutes, have an epiphany, and we'll come right back after that. Okay? Stay tight.
I know that you had a bad day. You deserve this beautiful praise. I know you just want to be free. Let's have an epiphany. About you, girl.
Yeah, that's what I hope you have today, an epiphany. So sit back, relax, and chill. I know you had a rough, long day. That was Relax and Chill, written specifically for me for the Crystal Talk Show online. So I shifted it right on over here to the Glam Network Radio for Women. That's Brian Isaac, Relax and Chill. And I really did. Thank you, Brian. I emailed him the other day to let him know, hey, I'm pulling that song back out. Thank you so much for what you've done for the Crystal Talk Show online. And so now we are here, Glam Network Radio for Women. And I got my girl on, Stacey Prater White. She is a wife, a mother. I call her in my personal space, woman extraordinaire. We got little pet nicknames for each other. We've known each other since middle school. And just to put that out there, she's number five. I had to ask her again. Number five, 14 siblings, brothers and sisters. And I know that this family has blessed a lot of people. And through the ups and downs and watching them grow and evolve into an even larger family. I've lost count. I don't know how many of the siblings have children and how many. I think the children are having children. So the legacy of the Prater family continues as we live and breathe. And I want to bring you on with my very, very special guest, my girlfriend, my boo, Stacey Prater White. Are you on, Stacey?
Hello, everybody. I'm here. Hi, Crystal.
Hi, Stacey. Good to see you tonight or hear from you tonight. I'm so glad that you joined me. And I'm going to give you free rein tonight to talk and be open and candid and funny. You all, just to let you know, we may slip off into a little girl chat and do some bantering of our own. That's just how we roll. Introduce yourself, lady. Tell her I know you, but tell everybody else who you are.
Well, it's funny that you say that because I was scratching my head for the last few weeks thinking, well, I know Crystal. I know her background. I know what God has placed in her hands, and I'm in full support of it. But just in awe that I would be chosen for an interview. And so just in a nutshell, you know, again, like you said, I'm just a woman of God who is really trying to take the things that I have endured and the things that I am currently working on and struggling with and being transparent so that I can help other people. I feel like that's our obligation. So, yes, I do come from a huge family. There's 14 of us. My parents had 7 sons and 7 daughters. I'm number 5 of the 14. And we're a huge family here in the Detroit area, although we have lived in other states. But our claim to fame, just like anybody else that's a believer out there, is just, hey, at the end of the day, I want to make sure that while I'm on this earth, A, is fulfilled, and then while I'm doing that, I'm helping somebody else with what I may actually come through. Well, that's it in a nutshell.
Amen. Amen. 14. And
yeah.
I'm a witness. I've seen them all. I know the youngest two don't even remember, but there was a very, very special time, traumatic and time in you guys' life. We took the two youngest ones to the movies one time, and just watching them, and it was my cousin and I, and we prayed, you know, that God would do something miraculous in the lives of them. And I've seen it happen. I've seen God do some wonderful, miraculous things in the life of your family. But girl, take us back now. We met in high school. I don't know if anybody really knows the story, but I'm gonna crunch it down as short as I can. But if I'm not mistaken, Alan is under you a year.
Yes, Rudy. His middle name is Alan. We do call him Alan. He is 1 year, about 11 months, and 11 months younger than I am. Absolutely.
Okay, so Rudy, which we all call him, I met him first. We were in band class together, and we would come to band class and do church challenge. My church is better than your church kind of conversation. And, of course, it was, you know, it was all good, you know, but it was 3 of us, actually. We were PKs, and so it was myself and Rudy and Marcus Abernathy. I'm never going to forget it. And we would come to class, band class, with Miss Bertucci and just have this big conversation about whose church is better than who. And so fast forward, they're on my way to church down the street from you guys' house where our church moved, and I saw Rudy playing outside. I made my dad pull over. And I screamed. I said, hey, my church is better than your church. It's down the street. You know, he said, this is your church. And so Rudy came in one Sunday. morning for party school. Then Rodney came in, and Karen, I think, was the next person I saw. And the next thing I knew, all of you guys started trickling in. And,
yes.
And the funny part about it, Stacey, was we all knew who you guys were. You guys have distinct facial features. No matter where you are, there are two distinct things that you will know if you're the presence of a prater. Number one, they have very distinct facial features. All of them are gorgeous. The girls are gorgeous. Shoes are handsome.
Thanks,
but let me tell you, nobody can talk faster than a prater.
That is so true. I'm sitting here like, Lord, please allow me to slow it down so these listeners can actually understand. Because Crystal, she has a seasoned ear, so I can go to my top speed and she'll be right there. But the other listeners will be like, what in the world?
She just said, it's awesomely funny to me because my cousin and I were out one time, and I think it was Marla. We were in a restaurant, and Marla was on a date, and we heard this person talking. And so my cousin said, be quiet. She said, listen. I said, what? She said, listen to the table over there. So I got quiet and I listened, and we both looked at the said, that's a prater. And lo and behold, looked over there, and it was Marla. It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I don't know if we actually said anything to her, but we didn't want to embarrass her on her date. So we didn't, I don't think we said anything, but it was just that funny.
That is a distinguishable feature. Absolutely.
Yes, it is. So what was it like growing up with 13 other siblings? I know right around the time I met you, I think Ramona and Donna were, what, out of the house by then? And
When we met 83, 84, I'm really taking us back. Let's see, Donna, that would have made Donna a senior in high school or either graduating at that point. So to answer your question, growing up with 13 siblings is nothing short of fantastic. I don't know anything different, but I do know other large families, and some don't share that common thread of love that I believe our parents went above and beyond to make sure that's what we had. My mom and my dad come from a little bit of dysfunction in that they found the Lord, you know, throughout their adulthood. They weren't necessarily raised in church. And so when we were younger, they would always say, and we didn't get it until we got older, was, all you have in this world is your brother and sister. And we'd say, okay, like, you know. But as we got older, I guess what they were trying to convey is, at the end of the day, the love that you guys have for each other is what's going to support you throughout your life. So agree quickly. If you have a fight, make up. Understand that is an extension of you. And whoever they love, you love. And so it was fantastic. Getting together with them now is always a blast. My best memories encompass with my brothers and sisters, even to this very day.
Awesome. Comfort. That's one thing you can rely on. And comfort came at some very pivotal times in the life of your family. So I'm not going to go there just yet because I want to talk about this whole 14 people in the house. I'm still stuck. Now, first of all, I went through it with giving birth to five. I cannot imagine what was going on with your mom at the time. And honestly, you know, I grew up from a family that had 21, right on the next block up from me. That you actually met. We went to school with them. It was 21 of them. So I can't remember all of their names. One was Felicia and another lady. I can't remember all their names right now. But 21 to 14 is pretty big numbers to come out of a house for me. You know, my dad has, my family has nine. My mother has nine. You know, so we always stayed, my family stayed in that 9, 10, 11, 12 bracket. But you guys hit 14, another family hit 21. What in the world? I mean, so did we do hand-me-downs, hand-me-ups? Was it bologna sandwiches and potted meat sandwiches? I don't know about you, but I didn't have 14, and we still had potted meat sandwiches. So what was it like? I came over for dinner one time, and I'll never forget it. Your mom said, Crystal, when I say it's dinner time, You go upstairs, baby, and get your plate. Nobody's going to bring you a plate. You're not a guest no more. You go up there and get your plate. And I thought, okay. I got up in stairs, and I saw the boys over around that counter. I said, well, I guess I go home for dinner. It's not going to happen. So
that's right.
What was the
that's
dinner
right.
bell like in the playoffs? Tell us about the dinner bell, girl.
Well, the thing is, you know, our dad worked, and he worked for Ford Motor Company. So my mom, she was definitely a traditional mom in certain ways, but when it comes down to dinner, she really wanted us to dine together. So we never ate until my dad arrived. And so my dad would pull up at 5:15 every day. We'd be looking for him because, of course, everything is smelling good. And you kind of knew, like, you know, she always had, we're stair steps. At any given time, there were still children under the age of 5, right? So after dad was fed or after dad's plate was made, and then the younger ones, my mom would just kind of make sure or oversee to make sure the ones who couldn't really fix their own plates were taking care of the toddlers, if you will. But like you said, after that, it was fair game. And my mother always, like you took to add to your point, she fed anybody and everybody. So it wasn't just enough for us, but it was always enough for that neighborhood friend, that high school friend who's overstudying. If it was a certain meal that she knew a neighbor liked, it was nothing for her to say, don't forget to take a plate of spaghetti over to Howard, or, you know, or don't forget to take out this to Charles. I mean, that was just her ministry. So when you say, how did she do it? I still, at 46 years old, scratch my head and don't understand. All I can say is clearly, that was what she was placed on this earth to do. She did it with great conviction. She did it, I mean, she prided herself on her family. But showing love and always having her arms wide enough to receive not only her 14, but anyone that they loved and went to school with and were good friends with, they were always invited. Mm-hmm. So it was always enough. It was always enough, absolutely.
Wow, always enough. And you don't actually think about it being always enough with 14 plus the neighborhood, because then, you know, not only was it you guys that had free run of the house, we had free run of the house, cousins and the church, you know, we just one big old camp. at the house. It was always with some project going on. I mean, I remember accidents, getting hurt, and I remember fights, and then I remember waking up and all of that. So your mom and your dad had a big heart, not just a big house, but a big heart.
Yes.
And so I watched your mom. I'm like, I used to be scared because I'm like, she's got to be a disciplinarian. I'm all, kids, you can't come to her house and say, but we come in the house and she said, hey, you know. And that was it. You know, she was never surprised at who was in the house anything like that, because she, one thing I know, she trusted you guys, the children, not to bring any crazy people in. And if they did, they got hands laid on them and prayer and all that other stuff. So ask us if you want them. you might have got a whooping too. So you came in at least 2 or 3 times. You one of theirs. So, but growing up, 14 children, disciplined, what was discipline like? And I know it's totally different from today, so give us that contrast.
Oh, for sure. For sure. We grew up in the era where, first of all, we had a community, and we had, and I'm sure we all miss those days, where your teachers, your community leaders, your police officers, you know, the man at the dime store, the card store owner, they were all your elders. And so my parents would always say, that's an extension of me. So there's no such thing as an elder is speaking and reprimanding you and giving you, chastising you or giving sound advice, and you treat them any different than you would us. Kind of lost that, as you said. So discipline was, my parents, you know, definitely believed in the scriptures. There's a rod, you spoil the child. So if you did not follow the rules, I love how my mom would say, what did you just do? And you would repeat, well, I was fighting so-and-so. Okay, and you know that that is not what we stand for. Yes, ma'am. And so you know that you broke a rule. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so go get that belt. And then after you get your spanking, you might as well go in there and take your shower and go to bed because you're done. So it wasn't a situation where you didn't know. You didn't know. You know, it was repeated. And she would even say, now, what is the rule concerning disagreement? What is the rule concerning fighting? what is the rule concerning this? And so I guess you wanted to not only drive home the point that there are consequences to your actions, and that helped us as adults, you know. And so that wasn't only going on in my home. That was going on in the Davis home, in your home. And so we had a sense of community, and we all looked out for each other, but we had a distinct respect for our elders, for our those that were older than us and those that have paved the way and loved us enough to what? Want to discipline us and make sure we were okay. So discipline was no different. What is different now? But my grandmother's house, my aunt's house, like you said, if I was at Crystal, your house, if Milton Davis said something, it's gold. You know, if a brother said something, it was gold. So it wasn't a situation where that's, you're not my mama? No, ma'am. Oh, no. So and they all worked together. They all were. So it was respect. Respect was taught, and it was expected, you know, and from you. And so discipline was something that my mom and my dad prided themselves on. But with discipline came a lot of love, tons of love.
Yes. The village, it back then, it did take a village to raise a child. And I don't believe in the village anymore because, you know, there's so many things that are extreme now. And so, you know, we can't discern the village anymore. And the village has expanded. And so now our village is getting smaller. And our circle of people we trust is very, very small now. So we can't.
Yes.
We can't let our kids play up the street at you know, at Ms. Buttermilk's house because Ms. Buttermilk is no longer Ms. Buttermilk. Ms. Buttermilk's grandchildren. And so that discipline is not like it was back when we were growing up, you know. I remember when child safety became a problem. I don't know if you remember this, when child safety became a problem as children, and it was scary for us. It was terrifying because I believe right about that time the Atlanta child murders were going on and kids were disappearing and stuff. And so now, you know, it was like we couldn't go to the bus stop alone, couldn't go to the store alone. That was scary, you know, for us.
Yes.
Our children now, that's a way of life for them, you know.
Right.
How did you talk to your children? Because you have a daughter, Amber, she is in college now, right?
Correct. Amber's 21.
Yes. Okay. So your oldest baby girl is in college, and then you have two boys. And and so now, you know, growing up, it was look out for the girls more so than the boys. But now you have to look out for the girls and the boys. So how did you and your husband, Roselle, talk to the children about child safety from when you were growing up into how they're growing up now? What did you tell them they had to look for?
That's an interesting conversation because it seems like we have it often around here. I still believe in old school values, and I think I pride myself in just having this, you know, unspoken rule that I'm keeping old school alive, conversation by conversation, task by task. But I still follow some of the same things that our parents did. I didn't understand it then, but I do now how my mom could talk to one of my friends in a four-minute conversation. That friend would maybe hang out for that particular study project, and after they would leave, my mom would put me to the side and say, that person can't come back anymore. It was
That's
never,
right.
no, but I liked it. It was, yes, ma'am. So it was that discernment. My parents prayed, okay? So but to fast forward and answer your question, my husband and I, we pray, and we understand that I know that there's an angel of protection that takes you from here to wherever you're supposed to go and brings you back, right? You guys have things that you're supposed to do on this earth, and I believe that the Lord was going to allow you to live to see those things. However, I'm not going to be foolish to feel like I can send you out there unequipped. So I talk to my children, and I use every news story. I'm sure they're probably tired of me saying, wait a minute, we got to go back to WDIV, so let me tell you what happened. This person should not have been there. This person should not have stolen that. This person should not have been next to him when he was stealing it. Other, you know, so they get tired of that, but I think they appreciate the fact that I'm trying to share with you that these things can happen to you if you, A, don't pray, choose wisely your friends, but more importantly, you can't be upset with me when I say, I'm just not quite feeling that individual. So they can come over here, but you're for sure not going over there. And later on, they'll come back and say, I've had Amber say this a few times, Mom, you know that one, you know, friend, and I won't mention the name. Mom, you were right. I went over her house, and it was crazy. I have never seen anything. And I said, okay. Now, I didn't know anything. I didn't know those particulars, but I trust that the Lord gives me insight, and he tells me how I should raise you all, and he lets me know if a particular friend or situation is going to cause some problems, and I don't always have to explain it, but I'm letting you know it's for your own good. I don't want to withhold fun from you. I want to keep you safe.
Yeah, yes. And that's the important part is turning their eyes to noticing details, but also raising them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord and teaching them how to pray,
ma'am.
How to cover themselves in prayer. And so I'm excited to have you on tonight. We're going to take a short break, but then when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about Mom and Dad. And I want to give Mom her just memory today and tonight from me.
Awesome.
You know, my heart was so broke that day. I got the phone call, as many of us were, because she was everybody's mom. And,
yes.
And so we're going to talk about that moment for you and your family, your siblings, and hopefully the children and hubby can come on and say hello and give a shout-out to the audience tonight. And those that will be listening by archive, by the way, this recording will be available to you and your family by archive, so make sure you guys stay tuned. We're going to let Molly Music talk to us about how to be beautiful, and we'll be right back. Well, that was pretty good. Thanks, Molly, for the end. Beautiful interruption at the end. This is all the music. Beautiful. Everybody say, ay, 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 because that was not good. But thank you so much for staying tuned to Glam Network Radio. This is the Network Radio for Women. This is P. Willingham, your host for tonight and probably for the next 5 months, every Tuesday and Thursday night right here at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to be interviewing 50 to 60 women, power couples, and teens with life-challenging stories to encourage you to live your life forward. My mantra for this year and last year and probably next year is welcome to the second half of your life. And that's what we're talking about right now. We're talking about the second half of our lives. As Stacey and I are talking, that's kind of like where we are right now. We're at that second half point where it just gets good. You just kind of know where you are. You know what you like, what you don't like. You're finding yourself comfortable with who you are. And then you look at yourself and say, I'm going to change this, and you do it. And it's always for your good, for the good of yourself, for the good of God and those that around you. So I want to talk to you, Stacey, about mom. We talked a little bit about her in the beginning. Well, actually, we talked a lot about her in the beginning. But mom had so many people that admired her, and I found that out on the day that we paid homage to her and her memory. And I want you to, you know, you talk about it however you want, but just tell us about mom and what her transition and passing did mean for you as her daughter, because there's a thing about a mother and a daughter. What did that mean for you personally as her daughter, and what did you see happening with your family? What did it do for and to you guys?
Oh, wow, let's see. First of all, she was 46 years old, and we lost her to a really rare heart disease called a hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. In short, your heart ages faster because it's always racing or beating. Maybe you're doing some type of physical activity, although you may be asleep or just at a regularly relaxed state. So there's still a lot of technology, of course, that's gone forth since 1991. We lost her for this particular disease, but it was the biggest shock of my life. As a matter of fact, I normally align things up. That's my barometer of how I can get through things. And it was said for years, and I still say that, if I can get through my mom's death, I can get through anything. I was 21 years old, and my baby sister was 9, and my eldest sister was 25. My parents had been together at that point 30 years, 27 years married. So you can only imagine the devastation. My mom was in incredible mom. She was the nucleus of our family. And her passing, and now that I look back on it, first of all, I do believe that she knew. You can't have a relationship with the Lord the way that she did and not be in tune with, you know, your life work and knowing when it is finishing. So I would probably say those last 6 months before she left, she would say, you know, certain things. And I remember her distinctly teaching me how to cook certain things. And, you know, there were certain songs and certain statements she would make. And we'd be like, oh, you sound so more about myself saying that. And she'd be like, no, I just, you know, just want you to know that what's most important in this life is that you know where you're going when you leave here. And so it was devastating. So what I will say, because she was a core nucleus to all of us, and I'm 21, so that's the age that your mom starts to become your best friend. You know, you get past the teen years where you're like, oh, my God, she's the worst thing ever, you know, and then you start to communicate with her and understand that, oh, okay, and she does know a few things. I can glean from her wisdom. So having so many of us, it was a very, very a difficult transition just to see my dad, you know, have to now navigate as a single father, if you will, watching my brothers and sisters all at pivotal points in their lives. I was in college, you know, my sisters, I had two older sisters that were newlyweds, and I got baby sisters in elementary school. It was devastating. But I have to stop and say the prayers of the righteous really do avail much. And while that may sound deep and spooky, it was only his grace that carried us. It was only his grace that covered us. And people prayed for us. People still pray for us. And we had to start looking within and say, guess what? She taught us to love each other and to love the Lord. And those are going to be key points to get us through this season. Did we go through our grief and our stages of grief? Absolutely. All of us have dealt with it in our own way, but I think we've all been supportive of each other. And just to kind of speak to who she was always just a unique individual. I mean, she's number three out of five. She's the middle kid, youngest daughter, but she has two younger brothers. And when I talk to my grandmother today, who's 90 years old, by the way, you know, she'll still say, boy, my Joyce was just that. She was just that one that I just would kind of scratch my head and say, Lord, where did this kid come from? So she was just unique in that, in her own way. She was funny, hilariously funny. I love that my mom was a, she, again, came from some unique family settings. She lost her dad when she was 25, and, you know, she was that person that, you know, you may not speak to this sibling or may not speak to this one, but my mom spoke to everybody. So she was able to say, you know what, it's about time that you give this individual a call, or it's time for you to squash that beef. You know, I love that about her. I love that she had a way of bringing people together. And so back to how much she talked love, showed love, I believe that's just how she was viewed in her community. While she had a huge family, she had a lot of best friends. And I never saw talk on the phone, Crystal. It was the craziest thing.
Wow.
You know? And so that just let me know that she knew her purpose and she knew what she was called to do. And she did it very well with great conviction. And so while we still, here from 23, 24 years later, miss her as if it was yesterday, I would have to say that I was well-equipped. I hear my sister Mona say all the time, while I miss her, I didn't miss a thing. Like, she went above and beyond to make sure we were equipped for life. And I just, you know, am forever indebted to the Lord for placing me in her care. You know, she is awesome. I say is because, you know, when you live for the Lord, you never, you don't die. You know, you just transition to your home. So she is awesome. She is awesome, and her legacy continues to live.
Wow. And living, that legacy that is living now, today, is ongoing. And that's what happens when you wholesomely plant nuggets into the lives of your children and you're active in them and in their lives. And it does make me, even as a parent, it makes my heart swell when one of my children, you know, will say, well, Mom, I remember when you said, and you said, well, wow, they were listening. It was still shocking to me that they're paying that close attention. You know, and so now, you know, especially for those of us who I haven't experienced that yet, but those that are experienced their parents gone on, it is really unbelievable the things you remember your parents taught you, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Nuggets.
For sure.
And then you pass them on to your children and those children and children's children. I'm really grateful for the legacy. And I still to this day, I have never been to a funeral procession as long as your mother's. It's never happened in my life. I have never sat and not had to. I don't want to say that, but I've never sat through two and a half hours of people coming in. They were just coming. And so did the family decide to just go ahead and let the people come however long they were going to come? Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I remember my dad having like his shoulder pain and his, you know, his neck pain because the way he was sitting and then the aisle that people were coming down, and he, you know, constantly turning around and giving people hugs and loving on them and telling them thank you so much for stopping and stopping their day, you know, it was around Christmas, so from stopping what they were doing to come and love on us. It was, I felt like I was at a celebrity funeral because I just kept saying, who are all these people? Where did all that, you know, I knew there was a lot of us, but you know, it was just, I was very proud. I was very proud because the person that I loved and I knew was so loved and respected by so many others. And it was evident on that day, and it still remains evident. So absolutely.
It's funny because then you just don't know. It's your mom, those who knew your mom, and those who knew you guys, and then those people that knew those people that knew those people. They knew those people. And it just seemed like it was like the Prell commercial. You remember the old Prell commercial? It was like you, one person tells this person, another person tells that person, and so on and so on and so on. And it just kept going. I never saw anything so long. But we were sitting and we were just in awe, like, how many people I have come in here? You see, and our sanctuary was so big and it was accommodating, thank God. But your mom is here and gone from here suddenly and quickly, of course, without notice, and not even sure if everyone was aware of this physical ailment that she suffered.
Correct.
So we fast forward years later, and now Dad is going through a transition and change with Alzheimer's. Is that correct?
Correct. So
okay.
It was
so
20.
Uncle Perry, as we call her.
Yes. 20. So the busing in that was, even in the devastation of having to lose his life partner, that was his first girlfriend, her first boyfriend. They were 16 and 18 when they met. Got married and had a slew of kids and just vowed that they were going to, you know, raise them up to be leaders in society. My mama would always say, I'm raising leaders. And so to lose her suddenly, you know, my dad certainly had to revamp the mission, but he did not abandon it for sure.
Awesome.
So his thing was, you know, he had a stepfather, and his stepfather was great, by the way. But I believe he was really, really conscious about, you know what, I don't have babies, and I have older children. I believe I can navigate this thing. I never really had conversations with my dad to say, what was your approach? Because he lived an additional 22 years. What was your, but I believe that he, you know, of course, leaned on the Lord and did his best, but was determined to make sure that we were okay. Even when at times I'm sure he didn't even think, you know, he was probably looking at how am I making it through this transition. So as he got to retirement and post-retirement and, you know, grandbabies are coming and he's seeing that we're flourishing and, you know, we have some rocky waters there for a minute, but we all, through the grace of God,
pull
through and continue to pull through.
Amen.
I think that same thing. I think when you kind of know, you know what, my my assignment here is coming to a close. And it's a wonderful thing when you serve the Lord because, you know, you have his help, you have his direction, and when it's time for you to go, it is exactly that. It's time for you to go. You don't hang out any longer. And so while he did suffer from dementia, which is something that his mother had, you know, we were just really blessed, again, with so many of us being able to make sure he was cared for and taken care of during his last days, if you will. My dad was 69 when he went home to be with the Lord, but he went in the hospital for the first time in his life that September.
Oh, wow.
And passed, in his life. Outside of going to celebrate a new baby every year for 20 years.
Right.
Never been to the hospital. A picture of health. You recall, Crystal, my dad playing in the backyard with my brothers playing basketball.
Sure did.
It wasn't until his mid to late 40s. And so
it was all about basketball, man.
Yes. And the neighborhood, the entire neighborhood. So his transition was difficult because I think we all thought, well, we lost a parent. So, you know, we can have a T-shirt, we wrote a book on it, you know, we got it. But losing a father versus a mom was a whole different set of pain. And I don't want
to
bring anybody down, but just to know that, wow, these individuals really understood their purpose. They didn't just talk it. They put it in action. And they really did their best. They really did their best. So it was more, again, an honor to say, wow, Lord, you, again, for whatever reason, your infinite wisdom decided to place me in their care. And how I can thank you and how I can thank them is to live a life that is pleasing to you, Lord, first. And then to pass down some of the skills and the love that they gave us.
Yes. You keep saying that same thing, pass down. And that's the wonderful part of parenting and legacy that I believe we're missing is the passing on the baton with the quality life, the life that God ordained for us to live. That's that quality life, that life of love God, love yourself, and love your neighbor. And the whole premise of this network is to learn and practice and understand God's love. And I think we miss that on so many levels. But at the same time, there are a lot of us who do try very hard to love and to forgive and to keep moving forward in love. You know, of course we have arguments and spats and whatnot. You know, welcome to life.
Right.
We all will not agree all the time. But, and I'm pretty sure, and I've seen a couple of disagreements. And you know, there's been so many other people in our childhood that have come and gone as well. And in that era of growing up, there's just those times that we just won't forget because it seemed like, and our parents have said the same thing, you know, they just don't make them like they used to, you know. So our parents said it, we're saying it, you know, I'm pretty sure our kids will say it. You know, just don't make life like they used to. But every generation has another set of life skills that they have to develop. So here we are in 19. I'm still back there. We are in 2016. You know, I never forget. I was thinking about an encounter with my third grade teacher, and she was saying, "You guys gonna have electric cars?" And we're like, "No, we're not. No, we can't have electric cars." And now, what are we doing? We're driving smart cars. So every time we grow and we grow and grow and grow, there's more technology. Things are moving faster, and so here we are in 2016. We have grown children of our own. Our parents, your parents, have gone on to be with the Lord. You have a slew of nieces and nephews.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
And yes, Lord, I don't know how you guys maintain, but thank God you do. And I'm excited, still excited, because now I get to get excited over the kids. You know, watching the children accomplish goals and things like that. And I'm like, wow, this is good. You know, they're moving forward. So I think one of your family members might be on. Some people come on and ask a question or two or pay homage or whatever. Glenn, you know, if you guys are listening by phone, if you hit the queue, I believe it's one, you can get in the queue and ask a question. If you're listening online, you're going to have to hang up or get offline and call in or dial in. If you're listening by recording, of course, now you know this is a recording, it's not live. But by all means, if you have any questions for Stacey, put them in the comments, and I'll make sure that she gets them. Caller, are you on the air? You're on the air. Do you have a question or a comment? Caller 5888, maybe not.
5888.
I don't know who that is. Okay, so let's move forward, and I want to talk about you now.
Okay.
You are a wife. Okay, let's not forget the day that your husband walked into the church building. Let me tell y'all something. Okay, I'm about to be, I'm gonna be for real because we all checked him out. We was like, who was that? And I was sitting next to Roselle, and I'm like, this dude is fine, you know. I'm trying to praise the Lord. I'm trying, but it didn't work out. I'm trying to praise the Lord, and somebody passed me a note. Switch these with me. I was here first, you know, for my arms. But then something said, no, give it a seat. And I said, okay, because, you just know. And so I got that note, girl, switch these with me. After that note of switching seats, that was it.
History.
It was history. I was
so there. You gave up your seat. You gave up your seat, and look what happened. God just did that.
Look at that. And I just light it off. You know, this is what family does. We down. I can say this and be real street about it. We down like four, not four, but four flat tires.
Yes,
this is how we roll. Always roll like that. You've been there for in a very tragic time in my own life, so I know that how we do it.
Amen.
So we met Roselle on Sunday at Sunday Morning Service.
Yes.
Praise and worship. Wow. Talk about that.
Well, let's see. You're taking me way on back to March of 1989. Members of Straight Gate Church, a growing church, because the church that I met you at, Crystal, was near my house. We had outgrown that building, and I believe prior to that building, maybe three or four more. So a growing church.
Uh-huh.
And so we had now moved to another area of town. So it's a lot bigger, and more are coming. I think yeah. I saw him maybe 4 weeks prior. And what I mean by that is kind of caught my eye, like, oh, that brother over there. And, you know, they may have seen him here on a Wednesday night. And so fast forward to the day that he was sitting next to you, I was like, this is my opportunity. Oh, my Lord. This brother right here, right? This is the brother I've been eyeballing, you know, for 4 weeks now and trying to figure out who that I knew that he knew, you know, so I could try to say, do the introductions. And so I did end up finding out that he knew, Rod Jenkins, a really good friend of ours, kind of, you know, sealed the deal for us. But that particular Sunday, I remember it. I remember kind of laughing afterwards and saying, you know, Crystal, that's a fine guy. Tell me about the big eyes. Girl, that's him. And then, of course, you know, we were raised a certain way. Right. Hey, girl, he's here. So we were raised a certain way. So, you know, as young women in the church, you know, you're looking for an opportunity for someone to walk up to you and introduce themselves. And Roselle didn't come from, wasn't raised in church. So he's kind of thinking the same thing, like, how do I look walking to somebody in church like I would do maybe at a club or at a mall or something?
Yeah.
So I'm giving him all the little telltale signs to say, brother, geez, you know, I know you're not blind up in here, but.
I know.
Yes. So that was March of 89. Let's see, we dated for 4 years and got married actually to the very day in 1993. And here we are 23 years later, 27 years together, and have seen our share of highs, lows, good, bad, but it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade.
All good.
You know, the old folks say I wouldn't get trade nothing for my journey, but I will say that I talk to my daughter now and say, everything that I consider to be an attribute about me, you know, a characteristic that I may want to boast on, I will say I learned it through marriage. And so she just cracks up when I say that. And so I was like, I was 23 years old, and I said, everything that I would consider to be noteworthy about myself, if you will, came through being purged and being molded into one. And being forced to look at yourself and deal with yourself through the union of marriage. And so I consider myself very blessed. Roselle will be 50 next year, girl. Can you believe it?
And that is, you know what, and with his dapper dance looking self, I can't remember what, you posted a picture of him on Facebook, and I said, Roselle, you look like the guy from Irish Spring. He was just dapper danced up with the cap and the plaid and everything. And I said, you know what, this is just how it is. You know, he was always a good dresser, always a great dresser and everything. And so this powerful marriage that you have, and of course we all know that marriage is a journey in itself. The fairy tale usually kind of runs out, you know, after maybe a couple months after the honeymoon, you really got to do what you said you was going to do. You know, So that's where the real test of your character comes and the real sacrifices come and learning. Now, this show's going to go over time, so if you're online, you're going to be disconnected. If you want to stay online and continue to listen, call in. The number is, let me get that number for you. I should know it by heart by now, but I know it is 646. And 688-1843, I believe that's the number, if you want to listen in. I'm not going to cut it off just yet because I want to get to the end of this journey with you and making sure that everybody gets we're married and you're getting ready to have children and going to college. I remember you guys were in college and everything, and you're really making strides in your life to live life to the fullest. And here we are. I'm sorry, callers, the number is 646-668-8135. 646-668-8135. If you want to continue to listen, you're going to be online. You're going to be disconnected. So here you are, married and grown children. You have accomplished some things in your life, college degree. I believe you owned a business at one time, and you guys were here in Atlanta. And let me tell you something. I don't have any problem with families who move, because this is the thing. Life is an adventure. Do not cut yourself short by not living that life to the fullest. So you're on your journey and you're living life to your fullest. What is the most valuable lesson that you've learned as a wife growing in this journey of marriage with Roselle?
Oh, I say this, if I say it once, I've said it 3 million times, that you have to, and I know it sounds really cliche, but you have to have your own personal thriving, is the key word, relationship with the Lord. Your mm-hmm. own personal thriving relationship. That's the only way, in my opinion, that you're going to survive.
Yeah.
And that's individual. So Roselle has his own personal thriving relationship. I have mine. That's not to say that, of course, they intersect because we are one, mm-hmm. you know, from the
right.
from the biblical definition.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
my own personal relationship is how the Lord deals with me to say, you're wrong. You need to apologize. You missed
right.
that. You need to try that again.
Mm-hmm.
You're tired.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get back up
sure.
and get in the fight. So if you don't have that, I can't, I mean, I don't know, Crystal. I don't know. There's not a book, a magic potion. There's not a 10-step
oh.
program. There is nothing out there
mm-hmm.
that I can say works
mm-hmm.
outside of you having your own relationship. Guess what? They're the guy who made Roselle and I. Why would I not
mm-hmm.
talk to the person who created him as well
that's
as
right.
me, who loves
him
more than me, right? Who understands that
yes.
we have a purpose and a mission together. So if you don't have that, I promise you, and I'm not speaking from a standpoint of I've had this thing right for 27 years. Oh, my God, I've had my share of not walking with the Lord, and the hardships that I face were just so not worth it. You go right
yeah,
back saying I'm
not.
Sorry. It's not,
yes.
because you can't navigate it on
it's
your
not.
Own.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to
yes.
kind of just touch on thriving because I feel that I was talking to my sister-in-law yesterday, and so we hear the word
mm-hmm.
relationship, and I always say, I told my daughter this as well. At the end of a 24-hour period, Amber, I want you to look at where your time has gone. So when I'm
yeah.
trying to maybe become stronger as an athlete and do better with weight loss, people ask you to keep a food journal and track your progress as you lift weights, right?
Uh-huh.
So let's
right.
take this with your relationship. I know Roselle by the back of my hand when he's not what he's thinking. I know every body, every mood, every nonverbal cue, he can be across the room, and I can look at him and know exactly that means it's time to go. I mean, just, come on, 27 years, right? Why? Because I spend
yes.
time. So when I look
yes.
at the end of my 24-hour day, I can tell who I have a relationship with by how much time I've dedicated. So if you add up
yes.
this many minutes, this hour, this, take away sleep, take away eating, and just take away your hours that you actually dedicate to your job, I can tell who you have a relationship with. So with that said,
yes.
a personal thriving relationship with the Lord is key to any marriage. It's key to your life.
Yeah.
So if you don't have
that's
that
right.
prior to, ooh,
mm-hmm.
ooh, I'm letting you know right now, you can develop it, but you're walking into
mm-hmm.
a whole different battlefield if you all are looking for each other to fulfill only a role that God can.
That's right.
I can't.
And
I
that
can't
role
have
is being
yeah.
challenged.
Oh, yeah.
The role is being challenged more and more as we go further in life. And now we have the conflict of what God honors as a marriage or a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in that
mm-hmm.
conflict even greater now than we've ever been.
Yes.
I think that, the original plan of man will never be erased. And we understand God said, he made male and female. He made them. And it is
mm-hmm.
good. And he said,
mm-hmm.
be fruitful and multiply. And so the enemy is dogmatic in making sure that that formula is disrupted, whether we're
correct.
Heterosexually together or homosexually together. His job
mm-hmm.
is to make sure that that plan is interrupted. And,
mm-hmm.
and so it's important for people like you to express what they're what they've learned in not just a marriage, because marriage is a relationship. What you're learning about you and God's plan for your life with that person. You know, the
mm-hmm.
scripture that comes to mind is what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And we've done a lot of joining together. And not just talking about marriage, but just relationships. We've done a lot of things of joining together, of things that God did not join together. You can't make a square peg fit in a round hole. And it has to be
okay.
the two things that God ordained together. And
yes.
marriage is honorable
yes.
and unto the Lord. So if you want to jump in and pursue this journey in marriage, make sure that you have a thriving relationship with God. And will you get all the I's dotted and the T's crossed in your marriage? No. You'll miss
no.
it. But thank God for grace. His grace covers you. It doesn't cover you up. But grace is sufficient to get back up and say, okay, let's work on this. Let's fix this part of our relationship. Fix this part of me and move forward. So you and Roselle are married, and you are starting a ministry now. I'm so excited about that. Can you tell us a little bit about the ministry?
Yes, too am now excited, Crystal, because you know me. You know, we keep it 150. So
yes.
I will say I was married, or we were married 6 months, and my husband answered the call to ministry. Now, growing up in church, I did not have that. You know, that I wasn't the kind of person that was jumping up and down talking about, oh, my husband's going to be a pastor. Oh, my God. I was like, please tell me you are kidding. Because this is going to be our demise right here. You know, I could never see myself in ministry, growing up in ministry, working in ministry. I'm like, no, ma'am, no, sir. Wrong. So little did I know that was 1993, that our life, our marriage, having children, losing parents, hardships, good, bad, you know, ups and downs, we were actually being prepared for ministry. And at the time, you just don't know it. And so by the time we were called to come back home to Michigan in 2012, and the Lord said, you know, this is the soil in which you will actually start on, we were thinking, well, what can we add? You know, what can we add that to what's not already out there is 8 gazillion churches, you know, and that's when I got a different perspective on church versus ministry. And what he said, if you all are transparent and you share what you have gone through these past, at that time, 20 years in marriage, 24 together and, you know, 3 children, you'd be surprised how much people need to hear your story. And how can they hear without a preacher? And so we're always kind of conditioned to think a preacher is a certain thing. No, I just need somebody that can be my mouthpiece. I just need somebody that can be my hands and feet, the Lord said. You don't have to have a sprawling ministry and a title. I just need for you to share, this is where I was. Mm-hmm. This is where I went through without hanging on to the Lord and trusting in him. And look at the foolishness that I've drum up. This is me now. Once I finally got a hold of his unchanging hand that I refused to let go of. And then here I am with my testimony. So that is ministry. So once I got that,
the unchanging hand, girl.
Unchanging.
Yes.
I'm not letting it go. So once I started looking at it from that view, it kind of took that whole stigmatism about, ooh, church and pulpits and first ladies and skirts and, you know, I can't get down to that, Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I kind of had a different perspective. It's just I'm going to share my life, the good, the bad, the indifferent, the ugly, the pretty, the hardships, the sorrows, the stumbles, the scars. I'm going to share it all. And if somebody can glean wisdom from what my story, then amen. Because Jesus gave his all. So I have to give my all transparently, and then pray that somebody is blessed by it. So that's where we are. We're kind of holding
that's
Bible
awesome.
Studies here in our home, and it's just kind of flourishing.
Awesome.
And we're just excited. Just excited.
I'm enjoying hearing that right there because there's so many people who don't go to those four walls and pews and stained glass windows so we don't even have stained glass windows anymore, but just won't go to the corporate setting and receive anything. The intimate setting seems to be what people want and even need. So I'm happy to hear that. And I'm excited to hear that. The Bible says all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And the all things mean all. There are no stipulations to that. There's no addendum. All means all. So to say to everyone who's listening tonight, you know, how did someone who's lost their mom and their dad, such a big family, and they have had their trials just like every other family. Everybody has some dysfunction going on. You know, and dysfunction is just another challenge for God's glory to be revealed in the life of the people who are meeting those challenges. And so all means all. And here we are today. From day one, since the day we met at Serenity Middle School, all things work together. And here we are today with a flourishing life, you know, thriving children. The boys are so tall. Good Lord.
Lord,
the taller than, are they taller than you now? I think they're taller than you. So,
yeah, so they passed me up some years ago. Let's see, both my boys are 6 feet or a little bit taller than 6 feet. Clearly, they pull from the Praters. No shade to my boo, but
that's Prater tall. That's the Prater tall because I would get off and shoot up past that, you know. So
yes,
I'm just thriving, and Amber is thriving, and developing her own voice. Amen, because I've seen it. She's getting out there developing her own voice and her own style and everything. And kind of look at my daughter, Diamond, and I'm almost ready to pass out because they're both going through the same transition. I think I just saw
absolutely.
A picture of Diamond and your daughter, Amber, and I said, this repeat. What just happened 2 years ago. So it was really exciting to see the children growing up and everybody. So I want to say thank you. And you got to come back. I mean, that's just it. You have to come back and share your wife nuggets with us and even maybe have you come and do some recorded nuggets for us to put on the broadcast every other week. And we'd love to have you to do that.
Absolutely.
And I want to say hello to Roselle. And the children, I love you guys. This Auntie Crystal is watching you grow up, and I'm very, very excited and happy for you. Hello.
Amen.
Let me see if I can get this right. Let me see if I can get it right. Hold on. Let me get it. Shout out to Ramona, Donna, Karen, Stacy, Leslie, Marla, and Dorcas. Did I get all the girls? I got them. And what's up, Reese? Alan, Rodney, Shelby, Chris, Sam. I'm missing somebody.
Courtney.
Sam. Courtney, yes. Courtney. I'm always missing one. But shout out to all of you and your wife and your children. Thank you for sharing your sister with me, and thank you for sharing your life with the rest of us. God's grace and peace be on you all as you continue to live your legacy, the legacy of your parents. And I'm so, so excited for the future for you. And Roselle, tell Roselle, I said, tell my brother, I said, thank you for loaning you to us for a little bit of change tonight. And hopefully we'll have
Amen.
You both back. We are going to have couples month. I forgot which month that is. But we're going to have couples month. We would love to have you, the both of you, come back and talk about couples
Amen.
And
awesome.
What is it
awesome.
Taking to live in this earth as a kingdom couple.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Amen.
We got to put that back on the map. Amen.
And we surely
Amen.
Do.
So listen,
we surely
you guys,
do.
We are doing 50 to 60 women and power couples and female teenagers of power, influence, and triumph. If you think that you fit the criteria, you can email me at info@thetotalwomanglam.com. If you think that you meet the criteria, we'll email you back and give you a list of the criteria, and we'll set you up with an interview. Now, as a result of this interview, you'll be able to share this link with all of your followers and all of the people that you would like to know a little bit more about you. You'll have access to that. And this is my gift to other women, who have a voice and have something to say and offer to the world. This is my gift to you. So if you think you fit those criteria, you can email me, info@thetotalwomanglam.com. And thank you again for joining us, Stacey. I love you. So much.
I love you
like
too.
One of my sisters.
love you too.
You know, and I want to pay homage to my sisters as well, Jessica, Katura, and Raymo. What's up, y'all? I say hey to James, he's the only boy. How you doing? To my family, and especially to my husband, Marlon Willingham. Babe, I love you. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Again, this is Crystal P. Willingham with Glam Network Radio for Women. God loves all of me, and I love all of you. Have an awesome, awesome night. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Run to Old Navy to celebrate summer style your way. Now through Tuesday, rush in for $2 tanks for women and girls, $4 tees for the whole family, $6 graphic tees, and $8 shorts. Ready to dive in? All swimwear is 50% off. Stay big on the best summer styles for just $2, $4, $6, and $8. Now through Tuesday. Plus, this Friday only, women's dresses are just $10. Run to Old Navy. Valid 622 to 628. Dresses valid 624. Select styles. Exclusions apply. See store for details.